I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Every day is filled with opportunities to express yourself. And with an everyday piece from Blue Nile, you can do it without saying a word. Blue Nile's collection of diamond jewelry is the ultimate statement, with sparkle that elevates any outfit. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, their diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Gary Honey, welcome
Gary,
to the club.
Welcome to the club, Gary. Take your jacket off. We will go wild all night.
Romford's quite nice. I've never been in Romford.
Right. Jim Campbell doesn't like it.
He's kind of from that way, isn't he?
Raynham.
Raynham.
Which I think you'll find is over a mile away.
Okay.
Raynham Steel.
There you go.
Raynham Steel.
Right, Vish, lock and load.
We built this city on
Raynham Steel. Raynhamsteel.com. Right.
They don't have a website.
Oh.
No, I bet they do.
Seriously. They have a MySpace page.
Yeah, get on the Raynham Steel website, for crying out loud.
It is, yeah. Steel stockholders and suppliers.
Of course, they're a massive company. Don't have a website.
Press the button. Do you think anyone's buying steel online? Sorry, yeah, press the button. Yeah, no, we've got some lovely Black Friday sales for you, yeah?
Why is Raynham Steel doing a Black Friday deal? Press the button!
Who's your daddy? Is he rich like me, everybody? Oh. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Newcastle denied a win in Paris and Man City won again in Europe. It's Wednesday, 29th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidusha Hantharaja.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us on a wonderful Wednesday. And thanks to friend of the Ramble, George Bingham, for sending us today's intro line. You can become a friend of the Ramble, too, by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble. We love you all dearly, but you can squeeze a little bit more love out of us what? If you do that.
Wow. What is that song? It's that one. It's the time of the season. Bang, 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 bang. Yeah, that's the one.
Time of the Season.
Time of the Season.
The Zombies.
The Zombies. Yeah.
Zombie.
What a song.
Different song.
Different zombie song. What's your favourite zombie song? Text in it, 12:15.
It was a different song. It was a different time. Mm. But we're talking about these times, everybody. Mm. There was some good action last night in the Champions League.
There was some
good
action.
There was justice in Paris. We'll get to that in just a second. It will get lost. But that Hermoso goal, was it Hermoso?
Hermoso.
Beautiful Hermoso. By name, beautiful goals by nature for Atletico Madrid, that looping volley. Mm. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you haven't seen it, Atletico away to Feyenoord.
These are
it?
The matches where they matter as well, I suppose. You know,
it all matters.
The last match never matters because it's all usually cut and dry, but right. It's the second last match where these...
It gets saucy,
doesn't it? I'll level with it. I don't know whether it matters to Atletico Madrid or not, but he hit it like it mattered, and that's the main thing.
It was Miggy Almiron at Fulham. I would
go as far. Still burns in your soul, isn't it, Marcus? What a hit!
Yeah. Well, the football purists in me were just really happy to see that moment.
Exactly.
But we've got to give Hermoso.
Hermoso.
It's hard to say it in English. Hermoso. Got to give old Hermoso.
No. You've got Hermoso. The age. Hermoso.
Hermoso.
Hermoso. Hermoso. Yeah. I was about to rewatch that goal and just to consider whether he meant it. And I thought, you know what? No.
Yeah, don't do that.
It looks good, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter that Keith Moon never actually drove a Rolls Royce into a swimming pool. Mm. We just think he did. And yeah, that's good enough. That's good enough. Come on then. Paris Saint-Germain won. Newcastle United won. A late penalty denied Newcastle a very famous win in Paris.
Another famous win against PSG.
Well, do you know what?
Almost doing the double of a PSG.
I was sitting there thinking...
With Lewis Miley in midfield. Have like, a bit of that.
Lewis Miley.
There you are. Yeah. Miley O'Reilly. Yeah. I just... So close to, as you say, getting 6 points. Thanks, boys. We'll take them. I mean, Ali McCoist was having a lovely time on COCOMs up until that penalty. And if that's a penalty kick, we might as well chuck it. That's nonsense, he said. He's retired from broadcasting.
I enjoyed McCoist to the match. I mean, he made some quite salient points about Isak. Like, he needs to swing a boot at it half the time.
Yeah.
Instead of overthinking it and stuff. But it was... Yeah, it was coming. It was in the post, that decision, I think. Because if you're going to spend 20 minutes just camping out in your 18-yard box because you are absolutely rinsed, these decisions are... And a decision was going to, like Eddie Howe said, it's going to go against you eventually. But I think out of all of the decisions that the referee had to make, that was the worst one.
It was a... Look. It's an absolute shocker.
By the laws of the game, the referee, it isn't a shocker, is it? In Europe, it isn't a shocker. There's no consideration to body parts bouncing off other, like it coming off another body part, effectively.
Yeah. So people.
So it isn't a shocker by the rules of the. But it's not really. I don't enjoy looking at it.
Right. Well, okay. So yeah, and I mean, I know Sky Sports and one or two others were doing this thing about when independent advisory board said that this should.
It wasn't taken on. It was a bit of a misnomer going around social media last night.
Indeed. Yeah. So okay. Was it a shocker? Yeah,
was it a penalty? Yes, it was a penalty by the rules in which the referee has to referee by.
Yeah.
But even to the least, the person who loves Newcastle the least, who because of all of the things that have happened around that particular circus, I think I'd look at that and go, I didn't enjoy that. That's not enjoyable.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not in the spirit of the game.
It was amazing how
it's a shockingly poor decision. Like there's no two ways about it.
Yeah, the fact that it's in the rules doesn't change the fact that the rules are flawed.
Yes,
and that's a great example. We've actually spoken about the Champions League the UEFA handball rule previously and about how it's just pretty wild anyway and that was, I suppose, the instance where you see it at its most ridiculous, as it were, because where else is his arm supposed to be?
I get the point about the body part. There are a defender can't thigh it up and then just punch it away and go, hey,
No, I know, but it's like it's the reaction time of it. You know, like his arm couldn't be anywhere. If it hits that part of his chest, his arm can't be next to it because it would just hit his arm.
He's not on the goal line doing like a starfish.
No,
and it's come
course.
Up and his arm's up there. It is even within the laws, as you've sort of pointed out there, Peter, it's such a crap decision.
It's handball, Moussa Sissoko in the final for me.
It's a sickness. Nick Pope deserved a clean sheet so badly in that game.
Well, I think, you know, Pete
nearly got his hand to it. I thought.
Yeah, he just went too low, didn't he? Yeah. You know, Pete's point about
he's never missing that, by the way.
It wasn't a clean pen.
Did it definitely go in?
If he hadn't thought he was going to go bottom left, I think he would have got a stronger hand.
He tries to do Nick Pope.
It gives him the eyes, but he gave him the eyes too much, which would have made Nick Pope think, oh, he's going the other side.
Yeah.
But I mean, ultimately, Pope was superb in that game. He was absolutely imperious, needed to be. Because Newcastle, you know, they stuck to their task well.
Off his leg was in. Like,
oh, my goodness.
I know it was quite close to his body, and you know, but it looked better the first time he saw it, and then he watched replay, you're like, all right, okay, it's a leg, but good
you've still
God,
got to make it. You've still got to make it.
Also, even after that, I thought it's just going to go in off his knee.
Yes, yeah.
Because it's obviously, yeah. We've seen that before, you know, it just hits the keeper on his way in, but yeah.
But I mean, him trudging off the field, not having kept that clean sheet, and that's the thing is, with Lewis Miley going in,
I think he'd get short shrift if he went into the dressing room and went, I didn't get me clean sheet. Shut up, we just drew the game.
But I mean,
going around with a hat, sorry, but I've just missed out my clean sheet bonus. You all owe me.
Miley, I want all your pocket money.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is that he should be walking off the pitch beaming because of what he's done. Miley should be walking off the pitch thinking, oh, my Champions League debut and I've been a part of a famous win and all this sort of stuff. And it's not to be. Now, I don't think it is actually as damning a result as one may think because they're still alive. Mm. And, you know, obviously to qualify for the last 16, they've got to beat Milan. That was always the case, really. So it's the same job. And then they need...
At home as well, by
the way. At home, yeah. And they need Dortmund to do them a favour. They need PSG to not win in Dortmund. Now, people might say...
Not
well,
win? It's not even like they have to lose. I mean, that's pretty...
A draw would do it. Exactly. So the job is still the same for Newcastle. Is basically, they just don't have that buffer, if you like, because if they'd have won, it wouldn't have mattered what PSG would have done. So they've lost that. But Dortmund have qualified, but Dortmund will want to top the group. And that football stadium that they play in is not one for kind of thing, sitting back going, well, let's just nice and easy here.
And PSG were poor until Barcola came on. Like, yeah. I thought he changed the game.
So Dortmund will want to win that game.
Also, Dortmund's motivation against PSG is always very strong because of what Dortmund see themselves as representing.
Exactly.
And there's also that. They're not going to mail it in that performance.
So the old sort of cliched, you offer Newcastle before this Champions League campaign. The final game, you need PSG not to win in Dortmund and you need to beat Milan. They would have taken that. Obviously, in the 97th minute, they might not have taken that in Paris last night. But that is the situation and that is it. And they have done phenomenally well with such a restricted squad. They didn't make one substitution last night.
I mean, they very much couldn't, really, looking at the actual bench. I mean,
you know, because the bench is crazy. You know, you can have 11 substitutes. In Champions League game. I think Newcastle on the bench, what did they have? 7?
It could have brought Hall on possibly, but so, just for legs.
You know, they had
just for legs.
Yeah. They had 7 on the bench and two were goalkeepers.
Dubravka, Karius, Dummett, Hall, Huntley, Ndueni and Parkinson. Yeah.
So to put that into context for people who don't know, 2 are goalkeepers and 3 are teenagers who have barely touched a ball at first team level. Mm. So that's what they're dealing with.
And also an academy that doesn't necessarily produce anywhere near finished products historically. And we've been lucky with a couple of players, but very much that has been completely against what Newcastle's youth team have brought forward over the years.
And to put it in context with Lewis Miley, you know, he's not exactly had half a season or anything under his belt. It's just a few games at first team level, and he became the third youngest Englishman to start a Champions League game after Jude Bellingham and Phil Foden. That's the company he's keeping right now, Peter.
I thought he was thrown in. I think in this match he was thrown in the deep end a little bit, and it showed he was. Some of his passing was a little bit wild at times, just simply because it's a big old occasion. But I mean, physically, I think he sort of imposed himself all right. But the quality wasn't there because he's 17 years old for crying out loud. I just hope he's not one of those footballers who, by virtue of the fact he's played against PSG in the Premier League, in the Champions League, in 7 years' time when he's at Darlington or Barnet or something, there's not those pieces in the sun. Whatever happened to Lewis Miley? Yeah. He played against PSG, which you see all the time with, let's face it, a lot of Manchester United prospects.
Well, I mean, inevitably that's going to happen to, you know, the sheer number of players that are coming through. But he looks...
He's a long man.
But he's intelligent. He is a long boy. He's a very long boy.
Long boy Miley.
A gentleman. His intelligence, though, on the pitch for a 17-year-old shows, like some of the positions he takes up. But again, look at the opposition he's playing. And he stood tall against them, as he stands tall against anybody. Mm. But I understand the points you've made there, Peter, but I think all in all, you know, he fitted into what Newcastle were doing.
I agree with Lequipe. He got a 4 for me.
Yeah, well, that's Lequipe, isn't it?
Giving a 17-year-old a 4.
You've got to double it with Lequipe.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. No, you have to double it. Ousmane Dembele got 6 somehow. the thing I'd say about like that Newcastle performance yesterday is if you compare and contrast it to their first game of this group stage in the San Siro, where... They paid Milan too much respect.
Yes. Mm.
They sat off them, and it was probably deep into that game when everyone was shattered that they thought, oh, yeah, God, if only we'd got at them maybe an hour ago.
Yeah.
And what they did really well last night, I thought, was they rode out that early ambush, as it were, because, you know, PSG start quickly, the crowd are on you. And as soon as they pick through them, they're like, oh, yeah, we can get at these. Isaac should have scored before he actually scored.
That's
like,
right.
It was a great chance and great work by Almiron. But I thought it was quite interesting in terms of, like, how much they've learned over the last, you know, 2 months. They shouldn't fear any of those teams. And beyond that first game, they haven't really, which is why I back them to, obviously you need the other result to go your way to a point, but I back them to turn over Milan at St. James's Park.
And even if they end up in the Europa League, this has been such a great education for so many of these footballers who have been with Newcastle for a long time, but who have never had a taste of European football. So I could see them doing something in the Europa League, because you've already played PSG, Milan and Dortmund. Who else are you going to fear? Who are you going to fear down there?
Well, that's it. I mean, this is the group of death, lest we forget. Mm. This, on paper, was the tastiest group. And Newcastle still have a great chance of going through in the last game.
If you were Eddie Howe, would you have taken a draw at the start of the match?
Yeah, well, that's what like I said,
with that squad, of course,
you would have taken a draw, because, you know, I said at the start of this chat that if you would you take, you know, you beat Milan and PSG don't win in Dortmund in the last day? Yes, you would have taken that. Of course, as it transpires, as the game progresses, you won't have taken that because you're on course for a little better. So it's absolutely gutting. And it is a pathetically bad decision that has cost them a win. But it's something to hang your hat on. Again, look at the squad. I mean, there's four places on their bench that should be reserved for maybe a few academy players and all that kind of stuff.
But maybe
the bare bones that they're down to.
But maybe if you're a substitute, it's a little bit like getting on a plane and then realising you've got like an aisle free and be like, oh, I can stretch my legs.
Yeah, a bit more room.
Might be quite nice. You don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Comfortable seats as well for the PSG bench.
I think it's a piss poor analogy.
No, I think they enjoyed it, actually.
PPA.
Yeah, I think they lay down, photo on Instagram story, all locked out.
Is that why you never brought any of them on?
Yeah.
They were like, you're all right.
Drinking cans. They're all drinking cans.
This is why we got into professional football.
Can I get a G&T, please? Is that right? Oh, no, when we take off, fair enough. We should also point out that it is Eddie Howe's birthday today.
Happy birthday,
Edward Howe.
Happy birthday. 5 a.m. for the gym. That's what he does, isn't he? He gets up at like 5 a.m, goes to the gym before the footballers arrive at 9 or whatever.
It's a winning habit.
It's a drawing habit.
Understandably, a lot of Newcastle fans very upset yesterday, all apart from Pete, who that was a correct decision.
Because I'm 42, I think that's the difference, isn't it? A lot of people who ring into radio stations crying are in their 30s or 20s.
Yeah.
But we've been around enough to sort of go, like, the long game is Newcastle will be here in another 50 years. I won't be. I live my life.
Yeah. One of those fans called up TalkSport yesterday and said he had to turn on his Christmas lights after the penalty decision because it made him too miserable.
Which is turn them on
to improve his mood.
Oh, that's quite sweet, really.
Yeah, I thought so.
Was it the mayor of Newcastle? I went down to the town centre. There I am. They're going on early.
Well, this, like, the idea was like some dad turning to his kids. Sorry, lads, Christmas is cancelled.
Who's the? I was listening. It was still a point.
There's still a line.
Yeah, I was listening to TalkSport this morning, and who's the Scottish bloke?
Alan Brazil.
Get this. His daughter is a doctor.
Ooh.
Good God, the way he lives his life.
My mum's a doctor, and whenever any family member in the world has some kind of ailment, they always call her up.
Yeah.
So
that must be quite annoying.
Yeah, so it'll be little things, like every now and again.
I've cut my finger, put a plaster on it.
I can hear it in Tamil, like at 9 p.m. because someone from Australia was called.
Right.
And she's just been like, yeah, just drink more water. Puts the phone down. It must be, she must be every time. Oh God, not again. just lettuce.
At least we know like a doctor now, because Jim went to A&E with a spelk once, didn't he? So
with a what?
Splinter.
I've never heard that.
You know, he's heard spelk?
No.
Is that one of those kind of like, I call them croggies up north, down here, backies?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, do you play knockouts or cuppies? Isn't it great being fucking Nolan? Fuck off.
And he can say that.
Yeah.
I come down London and I'm talking to people on the tube and they're not talking back. It's fuck off. Fuck off, North. Rubbish.
Because you've got a spelk sticking out of your head.
That's why.
They won't talk to Mr. Spelk, man.
I just assume it is great.
Oozing.
Do you want to pet me spelk? No.
It is great, but right. I just don't like it when people go down south and go, I'm a northerner kicking it down south, trying to be kind and talking to people and like people.
Do you not get annoyed though if southerners go up north and they're like, oh, we should be grim up
here. They don't do that. They don't do it.
No, it's a bit more patronising the other way.
It is, yeah.
I just love getting to the outdoors. It's like, well, what? You're in Ashington.
You're in Filey. Oh, Filey is nice. Don't have a go at Filey.
Yeah, don't have a go at Lewis Filey. Right. So Newcastle, still alive. They're still alive.
Still fighting for this title. And they've got to go to Leeds and get something.
And also, they've got more chance of winning the Europa League, you would say.
So yeah.
It's not the
adventure will continue.
It's not the wooden spoon you think it is.
I still reckon there's a strong chance of getting through here.
I think like they do. It. But ultimately that goal it was a tough one to take for Newcastle fans, for Eddie Howe, for Jimmy Nail, and the Public Investment Fund, lest we forget.
Exactly.
It
I'm
was
sure
one in the eye for them.
I can't wait for a tedious memo from the PIF posse. This morning.
Yeah.
So you just disgusted. Seeing Seferin there being tag teamed by Qatar and Saudi Arabia was grim, wasn't it?
Who was? What?
Seferin, the...
UEFA.
I wonder why you've turned up here. Nonsense. I hope both sides have fun. Fuck
awful, awful, isn't it? Awful. Yeah. Let's move on to something a bit more pure in terms of football teams. Manchester City 3, RB Leipzig 2.
It was more pure. It was the purest Manchester City match. Leipzig gave... The people of Manchester,
yeah,
so fucking down south. The people of Manchester, something to enjoy because I think Manchester City.
I agree with
matches.
That. I do
are
agree
just
with
so
that.
So kind of like sterile, yeah. And you know, it's like
all right,
they're just always winning. They're just always winning. It's hard to sort of G them up. But you saw there was shots of the crowd when Haaland scored his. Excellent goal!
Yeah,
sort of opening up his body and just sliding it in the far post. It was fantastic. They were just absolutely yes. And I've not seen them like that for ages. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I know what you mean. They should have an option of giving the opposition like a goal or two head start.
Yeah, exactly. Give us something.
I do know what you mean.
Man City, you will go on my second whistle.
Handicap. Yeah.
Yeah. It's obviously they came from 2-0 down to win 3-2. A pender. Just had a lovely old first half, didn't he?
It was lovely. And then when the celebration for the first goal was really good. The celebration for the second goal was, we could have saved this for 75 minutes, couldn't we?
Yeah.
We have really pissed them off now.
Yeah,
there was a bit of that going on there. 29 games unbeaten in Europe for Manchester City. Despite that, Pep said they were lucky. Phil Foden said the first half was the worst I've seen us play. So they're obviously not happy with themselves, but they did turn it around. Now, I'm getting a little bit worried about Jack Grealish, if I'm honest with you.
Okay.
I started the game.
Using your England goggles?
What other goggles do I have?
Those night vision ones you use at night.
No, sorry. That was never
looking
proved.
For badges.
The ones with the zoom.
Mega zoom.
Yeah.
Marcus's mega zoom night vision goggles. Dog fucking splinter cell.
Spelk cell.
Spelk cell. Sorry.
But yeah, Grealish, so he started the game and he was taken off. And as soon as he was taken off, Doku comes on with Alvarez, and suddenly the game changes and they're back in it.
Yeah.
And he's not featured that much, Grealish. And obviously said at the start of the season, it's a bit tricky trying to get yourself up for it, having won the treble. And, you know, the League Cup was the only one we didn't win last season. We're already out of it. Those kind of comments and so on. Is he just sort of... a very bit part player this season, having played quite a lot last year. Yeah. You know what Guardiola's like. It doesn't matter how much a footballer costs and whatnot. If he thinks, well, they're not really pulling up trees or they're not really sticking to the system, he falls down the pecking order. We know he can get distracted. So I'm a bit concerned about him getting the minutes and playing the football that we know he can play.
I think it's more that we've seen this with Guardiola before. Obviously, previously with Grealish when he first came to the club.
Yeah.
But with other players where he... you know, wants to jolt them in some way. He did it to Foden last year.
Yeah, he did.
He did it every match to Mahrez.
he hated
that guy.
Yeah, that is Mahrez is a great shout, actually, because I think Mahrez ends up leaving Man City feeling a little underappreciated. And then when he left, everyone at Man City was like, shit. How do we replace that guy? Specifically as a right winger, left footed, you know, quite rare, certainly for their profile, especially when they want Foden more in the middle. I think he's working with Grealish in that way. The only thing I suppose that gives Grealish a short window is his age. Like you kind of associate him with the younger players because he's quite childlike, and we love that about him. But he is 28. Yeah.
Right.
So you, not a sense of like time running out, of course, that's ridiculous. But
I hear what you're saying, though.
He's someone who I suppose is in himself probably a bit more antsy when he's put in this position.
Yeah.
And I suppose maybe seeing Cole Palmer go away to Chelsea, he's kind of thinking, right, that should have opened up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And yet here I am on the bench and everyone's raving about Doku now.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's on him really to show Guardiola, not necessarily us. I think we all know what he can do. But
I didn't think it was terrible or anything. I'm just saying that the narrative is kind of getting away from
it. But it doesn't help where the guy who starts ahead of you then comes on to replace you in the Champions League and then the game turns when he's on the field.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Doku is just absolute flipping mustard, mate. Even though I don't like mustard.
I'm sure there's a mustard for you we can find.
Let's do it after the show.
Mustard-free mustard.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been absolutely superb this season. But going on what you're saying, I suppose, to give Grealish a bit of hope, if you're listening, Jack, that he does go through phases, Guardiola, with some players, you know, whether it's resting players or different things, and blah, 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 blah. The aforementioned Phil Foden did score a lovely goal, didn't he? All those feet.
Yeah, all those feet.
Only two.
Imagine if he had a third. Imagine if any of us had a third. He's such a delightful player.
He's got feet like hands, hasn't he?
Yeah. It's absolutely just wafts it in the game.
He does look a kind of new level of confidence here. And I'm turning into you a little bit. Every time I see it, I'm like, right, how do England get a bit more out of this? And I suppose because he's so technically astute and tactically really switched on, he kind of... This sounds like damning with faint praise, but he's like a Flair Mount.
Yes.
Like he is actually really diligent, but you don't really acknowledge it because he's got highlight reel moments where you're like, God, he's so good. Yeah, he does this, does this and this. And he's quite underrated quick as well, so we can play out wide.
But you know, if he's starting for Guardiola a lot, he's putting all the work in.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, so take Anthony Gordon at Newcastle, the amount of work he does on the flank. You know, obviously likes getting the goals or assists and whatnot, but there's so much more work rate, and that's what you've got to have out of a squad, you know. And Foden, again, just because of the way he moves and he's like a gazelle, you don't actually think about the industry that he produces as well.
He's one of those athletes where because it looks like he doesn't sweat, you don't assume he's trying.
but you see how Guardiola treats him in that... He's always the one who Guardiola gives the messages to, and then he disseminates it throughout the squad. He did it last night, and it, if there's changes that need to be made, he's kind of like the pipe that comes through.
Do you think that's because Foden just speaks Pep Guardiola?
Maybe he's 23. He knows. It's all he knows. He's been institutionalised.
I'm so happy. The boss isn't happy. Okay? He knows what he means.
It's easier to learn a language when you're younger as well, isn't it?
You absorb it better, like multilingual.
But Pep wasn't happy, though, with regards to the Manchester City fans again. He said they need to become animals again.
Animals again? Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting that. I mean, football in general is getting that way. There's more hooliganism than ever before.
Yeah.
going back to the dark days of rubbish in the streets and hooligans in the stands.
Well, the full quote is, in important games last season, they were there like animals. To be successful, we need our fans all the time.
But the important games are, if you're Man City full stop, the important games are at the back end of the season, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I just like the fact that Pep Guardiola can't buy fans. You know what I mean? Because when he comes into a club, he's always got all of the resources in the world, but it's the one thing he can't buy. The people of Manchester and their enthusiasm.
But they're Northerners.
They are Northerners.
So they're great, aren't they?
They are great.
Do you think is there a difference between the league fans, like the Premier League fans at Man City and the Champions League fans at Man City?
Well, the Manchester City, obviously they won it last season, but there was always that weird thing about Manchester City in the Champions League. If you rewind a number of seasons, probably pre-Pep, you go back to sort of Pellegrini and and maybe even before with Mancini, that when they got in the Champions League, they often wouldn't sell out for some of the Champions League games. And it took them a while to warm to the competition on the pitch, but also in the stands as well, quite oddly. So maybe there is a difference there.
Well, I think a lot of that is price points as well.
Of course it is. I'm not having a go at fans there. But also as well, as Pete said, like, they won the treble, you know, the expectation is very much there. 29 games unbeaten in Europe. It's RB Leipzig. You're already through. I know Pep's talking about the wider context, but in a weird way, you could argue it's kind of testament to how well Guardiola's done on the team, because you get a new level of norm, and you can't. I don't think you can blame the fans for that, really.
Yeah, and I suppose your point also feeds off my point in that, like, if you know you're going to be in the latter stages of tournaments or even just in the league with big days, big away days, full stop, like, budgeting comes into it as well to a point. Like, are you going to really spunk money to go and see a group game, the penultimate group game of, you know, when City have already qualified for latter stages?
Yeah.
Or would you rather, you know, plump on, like, getting that semi-final away ticket?
Exactly. Do you think Guardiola's a bit annoyed, though, that he recently got, because he got a £60 parking ticket in Manchester? And apparently it's not
the
first
time. That's about what it costs, actually, to go, doesn't it?
Yeah.
See, you're not enthusiastic either, mate. Yeah.
Not the first time he's had one, apparently. Naughty little sausage.
I always think that's a dick move. Although I do like it's
do
kind of, but at the same time, I do always like that story of Whitney Houston getting on a plane about to light a cigarette, and they were like, you know, if you smoke on here, it's a $1,000 fine. So she writes a check for $1,000 and hands it over
Worth
and
it.
Lights up. Also a bit of a dick.
Did the steward go? 5,000. Yeah. Oh, no, down.
He shot me there.
But I mean, you know, I think that Guardiola is just doing a bit of a solid for the council there.
Yeah.
Part where he wants, they get a load of money, he gets his convenience.
Win-win, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. By the way, speaking of smoking, Lazio beat Celtic 2-0 last night. Smokey Morris got the better of brother Brendy.
Celtic had their chances, but did not take them, I think.
Ciro Immobile, old Immobes will do that, came on and got a couple of goals. So Celtic have now failed to win in their last 15 Champions League games, which is quite damning for them. The commentator was saying it, and lessons need to be learned and all the rest of it. It's like, they're playing against better teams. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's a bit. Yeah. Well, why not? Why can't you go to a better side and beat them away from home? Yeah, lessons need to be learned.
I mean, they did have a lot of injuries as well.
Yeah, look, Celtic,
it's the season.
Yeah, it is the season. Speaking of Scottish teams, did you see that Neil Warnock said recently that he wants to go and manage in Scotland?
That's a swerve.
Well, he was
manage in Scotland, rather than Scotland.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, he was linked with a Hearts job. In the past,
I was going to say he would love Edinburgh. I reckon he'd love Edinburgh.
Yeah, I think he would.
Yeah.
Mm.
What's the? Has he ever done? He's never done a Scottish team.
What's he
ever done? You know, he's never done a Scottish team.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
What's the furthest north he's been?
Middlesbrough.
Good question. Yeah, Middlesbrough's a good chance.
Yeah, right, Carlisle. No,
that's pretty north though.
Yeah. Did he manage Hadrian's Wall United? He probably did.
Berwick Rangers. Yeah. Did he do Berwick Rangers?
Yeah. Oh, goodness knows. So yeah,
he played at Hartlepool.
Nah.
60 appearances, 5 goals.
Didn't we all?
He knows the region.
He's a winger. Imagine that. Neil Warnock with his little nose.
Yeah,
running up and down the wing.
In his day, a winger would have made up a front five, probably. And actually, they were just.
You've got to meet the first man.
He's on throw-ins. Before we go for a break, everybody, there wasn't just Champions League action. Of course, there was a lot of action in the Football League. Did you see in League One, Barnsley got an injury time winner against Wickham Wanderers?
It was an odd one, but I mean, I think the keeper only has himself to blame.
Yeah, so the goalkeeper gets the ball and the forward sort of trots up to him and gives him a very light shoulder brush, which the goalkeeper thinks, you know what, I think I will go down. I'm going to chuck myself on the floor, and then oddly drops the ball.
Yeah, the footage is so bad you can't tell how he loses the ball from his grasp.
And the striker goes, I'll put that in, because that's what I'm trained to do. And it looks like it's been given, and it was the winning goal.
Yeah.
The only goal of the game in the 91st minute. Incredible. So,
do you think he messed up? Because if you watch the clip, the referee's running back to the halfway line.
Yeah.
The lino would have been running to where the second defender would be, as in like the back, essentially where the defence were preparing for the big goal kick. so the officials don't actually look when the bump happens? Because I thought, oh, maybe they'd give that, but...
I just think, or if the officials did see it, they would go, no, that's pathetic from the goalkeeper.
Up,
we're going to make sure that yeah, we give that.
This is punished.
Yeah, all right. Mm. Let's have a break, everybody.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Music plays a big part in our extended sports sound. The Inverness Cali Thistle manager Duncan Ferguson is in charge of that this evening. Here is his first choice.
Hi, it's Duncan Ferguson here. My first choice is by Johnny Cash, which is Folsom Prison Blues. In the song, the guy shot a man in Reno. I just happened to bump into a guy in Ibrox. So this song always reminds me of that time I spent away.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. How about that? right.
Playing the hits. He's playing the hits.
He's playing all the hits.
As if people weren't scared enough of him already.
Indeed. Now, on Monday, Vish revealed that he visited a nightclub in Motherwell called the Mega Club.
Mega Club.
Well, Chris from Motherwell and many other listeners have since informed us that the club in question was actually called the Mega Bar.
Mega Bar, not even a club.
My mistake.
And it had a kebab shop inside.
Nice.
Ridiculous.
So we now know that Vish is a big old liar.
What else was he lying about?
Well, exactly.
Is your mother a doctor?
Yeah. Exactly. Did Man City win 3-2 last night?
They probably didn't. Imagine the smell in that joint. With a kebab shop the club.
Yeah,
I think it'd be quite a nice club.
Are you serious?
No, I think it would be. Just think about nightclubs don't always smell nice, especially. Or this is a bar though.
That was it. But I think nightclubs back in the day they started as places like dancers, didn't they? So you'd have chicken in a basket and stuff. But then that obviously got phased out.
So you'd have chicken in a basket,
Back in the '70s and stuff. Well, you'd go dancing and there'd be chicken in a basket, and you'd have a meal at the nightclub.
Oh, that's right.
Stuff.
They still have.
But now it's obviously a bit. Back in the '90s, a bit of a meat market, but I do remember Club Europa had a pot noodle machine. pot noodles, Normie pot noodles. There used to be a pot noodle machine, and they'd basically just, you'd buy a pot noodle and they'd fill it with hot water. Yeah. Like napalm.
I was going to say.
What a stupid idea.
Now, talking of your love for northerners and northern things, and it's not just a northern thing, actually, but right. I don't think I've ever been in a pub where they've had a meat raffle.
Right,
you
okay.
must have done.
I've been in a pub.
You've
been
have you?
Pub.
But yeah, in London?
That's not a northern
in London,
thing.
I thought, no, I know it was a northern
that's
thing.
Just it's just a man's got a lot of meat.
Yeah, it's like yeah. a non, I always thought it was like a non sort of, I don't know, London thing, unless it was like maybe some sort of more
East End. I mean, I guess you.
Yeah, but not now, but back in the day.
There's no reason for you to be in an East End really? Boozer getting meat.
Yeah,
I just want to see it.
Meat.
I just want to see a proper meat raffle.
I want the Phantom Menace on DVD, and I want a big lump of meat
While I'm having a Fanta.
While I'm having a Fanta.
When my partner was playing for Leyton Orient, they'd go to a pub in Mile End after, and they would always. They obviously have like fake sky on the TV.
Right, yeah. Mile End in Hackney's Mile End, or is it?
Yeah, East London.
East London. Yeah,
And they would always on a Sunday, because they play on a Sunday. A bloke would come in and be like, "Right, got some meat here." He'd always have meat or trainers, never both.
I love but meat in a trainer.
I love that no one questioned. I got some meat. All right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like someone bought it once, made a good roast, and was like, yeah, done.
A famous, perishable good.
Yeah, and then since then everyone's like, no, it's good, pretty good meat, actually, yeah.
Yeah. It does say taste the difference on it. Yeah. Well, listeners have been sending us the worst local nightclub names that they have ever come across this week. We're going to go through some of our favourites on today's Ramble Uncut, our extended edition of Today and Every Wednesday Ramble, recorded exclusively for our Patreon subscribers. So do sign up to be a friend of the Ramble at patreon.com/footballramble to hear that. The link is also in the show description. Right, gentlemen, let us park the Champions League for the moment and talk about poor Gary O'Neill.
Poor Gary O'Neill.
Wolves lost 3-2 to Fulham on Monday night, thanks to a late Willian penalty, his second penalty of the night, of course. I celebrated it very, very enthusiastically. So I do appreciate it. I appreciated VAR, and I've never had a problem with it, really. But officials have now confirmed that Fulham's first penalty, they believe, shouldn't have been given, which was incredibly soft, to say the least, on Tom Kearney. Tim Ream apparently should have been sent off for a second yellow. Vinicius should have been sent off, despite initially deeming the headbutt wasn't aggressive enough. And so you can understand why Gary O'Neill was really pissed off in the post-match, because when officials come out and go, oh yeah, Gary was right again, he must just be thinking, what is it? Is it everything conspired against me? He seems like the most unluckiest man in the Premier League right now. It's very frustrating for him. And we like Gary O'Neill on the show. We've touted him as a future manager. So, you know, how can we...
About a future manager for England.
Yeah, future manager for England. Sorry, very much a current manager, future manager for England.
I'm the future manager.
So I don't know. Is there something that we can do to...
He manages the future. The future will be managed.
Is there something that we can do on the show to try and show our appreciation for Gary O'Neill?
We could...
give him a little kiss.
Or we could, I don't know, mock him? Potentially?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so his kind of post-match was quite interesting. Sam Matterface tweeted out O'Neill's full speech. Mm. And it did read either like a Taylor Swift song, as producer Finn said, or I went for like sort of 80s sort of Bon Jovi... REO Speedwagon sort of power ballad.
Can I say it was actually more 90s Bon Jovi?
Okay, all right, okay. Yeah. Always era, kind of slippery when wet.
No, slippery. No,
died. When was that?
Slippery
Crossroads, sorry.
Crossroads.
I
think was their best.
Crossroads.
Yeah. You can fool me, tell me I'm wrong. You can fool me and apologize. You can send me flowers if you like. But the difference of 22 points to 15 is huge. It damages the lives of WWFC fans, the players and my reputation. Someone making my way at a big club. I need to do something. Do I need to make some noise? Or do I behave how I'm supposed to behave? Oh, I'm Gary O'Neill. I'm Gary O'Neill. I'm Gary O'Neill. And I'm terribly disappointed in VAR. He's very disappointed in VAR.
How many goes did that take you?
It took me about 5 minutes, and yet people on Twitter will still go, oh, you spent a long time making something for a joke that wasn't even that funny. It's like, it took me 5 minutes. Did you hear it?
Also,
you can hear my breaths. I'm not breathing away from the mic like the Chocolate Rain Man.
Also, the that funny. They found it a bit funny. I laughed, but not that much. So.
Yeah. Doing anything is cringe, though, isn't it? Like trying.
Yeah.
Like going outside. Cringe. Yeah. Stop trying. Oh, get in a tube and die.
I can't believe you actually get together and record this. Yeah. how do you think it happens?
Just sad little man.
Sad little man. But Gary O'Neill's hopefully going to have a better time of things.
Pronounce it as it's now, it should be pronounced.
What?
Gary O'Neill.
Gary O'Neill.
Well, you, why is it often things that you do, is this sort of a homage to Macho Man Randy Savage?
Well, I just want a lovely
You just want
tombra.
Miss Elizabeth.
I just want Miss Elizabeth. I could have saved her.
I like the way that every now and again something in the world happens and you feel compelled to act.
Yeah.
In that way.
Nothing tickles. Something tickles me deep inside.
You have to remember, though, that Pete has got the hit hut, hasn't he? He's written all these.
Hit hut.
But that was a spontaneous one because obviously he only had the material for 5 minutes and then bang, look what the man
bang,
can do.
There you go.
It's like, the banter signal goes up, but only you can see it.
I don't like it when people bring banter to my door, though.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah.
So I go,
yes.
Pete, I think you should do this. I go,
you're the superhero we can't rely on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we Pete, where are you? You
and
run
also,
away.
And also, my performance level is poor. I'm not saying that I'm any good, but I'm just saying that I am shit at this.
Really?
But I am consistently doing stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
You just never know when it's going to come.
I just think you try too hard.
I just think you try too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was that funny.
Is Gary O'Neill trying too hard? He clearly seems to have a point if the referees are actually agreeing with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
But the thing about his, I suppose, just the approach to that, to his press conference, to his interview on Sky, I felt like there were maybe like three different strands to it. There's one that leaves you impressed because you're like someone delivering such a well thought out rant, quote unquote, given the scale of the situation. And I suppose the offshoot of that is like he and Wolves have had a lot of time to prepare for this kind of stuff because they've had so many things go against them. And then there's a second part where they've like, maybe they've already been through the anger. So they're all out of anger.
They're out, yeah.
And so this is how they put it across because
this is
it
my
takes
life now.
Yeah, because it takes a lot of effort to be an energy to be angry and like they must be sick of it at the moment. And then the other bit, which is, I suppose, in the middle, which is maybe a bit cynical, is like, what else can you do?
Yeah.
Like, try and act, this is the other way to broach it, because it is ridiculous now. As he said, as he sang quite beautifully, it is a bit like, you send them flowers, send them, you can get a big box of, like, novelty cookies, send them that as well. Like, it doesn't really matter anymore, does it?
Maybe just chuck him a couple of points, do you think?
Meet by post.
Or sneakers.
I think he's...
Imagine if the league went... We'll give you 2 points.
I'll just shut up. Yeah, yeah.
Just totally unprecedented. I don't know. Well,
I do like the way he sort of went about this, though. I do agree. I think it shows a real maturity and also respect for his team. So this is a big job for me.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you're a Wolves fan, you'd be like, yeah, good.
I think he's handled himself very, very well, Gary O'Neill. Bearing in mind there have been some other managers this season and recent seasons who have had decisions which have...
Just watch what Eddie Howe did last night.
There you are.
There ain't no reason to be upset.
Yeah.
Mikel.
To be fair, Eddie Howe did handle himself pretty well, although Ali McCoist was very much his mouthpiece.
Yes.
So,
What Gary O'Neill could do is he could go outside Stockley Park, hold up a boombox and play Pete's song.
Yes.
Now you're talking.
In a long jacket.
I just think... The English managers are showing the foreigners how to behave. That's just, Neil Warnock did it.
Galatasaray versus Manchester United.
Oh, hang on.
Steady.
We're still talking about VAR because there's good news. There's some
good news.
People are getting a bit dragged down with VAR, understandably, and so on. And it was proper panto stuff, by the way, at Craven Cottage on Monday night.
Right.
You know the type of crowd you get at Fulham? It's people like me.
Right, yeah.
Legends. anyway, FIFA... They're going to have to act, and they are.
Right.
So they're currently having discussions about extending VAR powers to free kicks, corners, and second yellows. Corners! Connors.
You know,
there's, we just don't bloody need it.
Do you know there's do you remember the Goosebumps books?
No.
They're like kind of like horror stories for like teenagers, kids and stuff like that. Okay. I remember like the first one I read was about a guy who essentially monkey paw wishes, and one of those wishes was that he wanted to be the smartest man in the world.
Right.
So everyone else became stupid. So
yeah.
It feels like that's what FIFA are doing. Right, if we ruin everything, then actually the level is consistent.
That's right.
So we'll be fine.
That's true. Yeah. We'll so nothing's going to stick out. Good, the good bits of football aren't going to stick out.
Yeah.
What do you think that of the announcement that sin bins are going to be trialled in professional football? They would be for dissent and specific tactical offences. More bureaucracy.
I'm not in favour of it unless the players from both sides share the same sin bin.
Oh, and it's just like a bin. like a normal like street bin.
You have to stand in a bin.
Or it turns into like a cage match. Like the people who have to cool off, put them in a small enclosed area together.
With bins, with those metal kind of dust bins.
The
old fashioned
ones, not the wheelie bins, I feel that this will be initially quite a popular thing.
Mm.
And then it will become a hated thing very quickly.
Like VAR.
Yes. I think that there's this idea that if we can just, football is nearly perfect. Like we've nearly got it absolutely perfect. And if we can just tweak it, it's like, no, it's not.
No, I think it just gives Sky or TNT or whoever's filming this bloody nonsense to have a little camera just focused on the sin bin the sin bin.
That I think would be quite good. But also,
that's what they do in the NHL.
What footballers would do is you then start having injuries because they'd have to. You know, they then have to kind of cool off and then they'd have to warm up.
That's a good point, actually. What's the rules there?
Well, people don't think of that, of course.
They have a little Stairmaster or something?
Yeah, maybe that's the bin. You're on a treadmill. You've got to keep going, perhaps.
They do that in rugby. They have a stationary bike at the side.
Do they?
Yeah.
So you keep going.
Yeah, nice. So that's got to be it.
Well, there you go. I think that's demeaning, I think.
But then you've got to take a bike with you. We forgot our bike today. Our man got sin bin and now he pulled his hamstring when he came back.
We got 11 aside. You have sin bins, certainly in the Essex League.
But I think.
But like we were down to 10 because we'd had an injury. We didn't have any subs, and then one of our players mouthed off, and then he got sin bin. It's like, that's unhelpful.
Yeah, I think basically it's trying to change the culture of football. It's trying to change the dissent, which is what it's for. And I think it helps at grassroots level. I just wonder at the top of the game, and then of course, well, if we didn't get that sin bin, we wouldn't have been down for 10 men for the last 5 minutes, and that really caused it. I just think it shifts the conversation.
Yeah, I suppose without kind of getting into the weeds of it, I think sin binning is quite a good way of putting the responsibility back on the player, because it is, if it's for petty things like that, they are avoidable things.
They thought I said that and I never said that. And that's all that will happen.
Yeah,
because it's not a binary decision. It's not, did the ball cross the line? It's well, actually, he turned round in disgust and the referee wasn't having it.
But you don't get many yellows for dissent these days, though, do you?
You don't, which is why I think the rules are probably fine without it.
Yeah.
Which I suppose that might change with the sin bin thing. We're talking in circles a bit here.
I think footballers need to be a little bit more honest. And again, Cristiano Ronaldo is leading the way with regards to morality. Did you see he won a penalty for Al Nassr recently? He then told the referee that it wasn't a penalty. Robbie Fowler-esque, for those who remember that, at Highbury.
Yeah.
Someone has
to lead the league.
What I love is the decision was overturned by VAR.
Right.
So,
what
it would have been so good if VAR had given it, though.
Really insisted on it.
Because then what would Ronaldo have done? I get another goal, but they're calling me a liar.
Sorry, he would have taken it. What are you talking about?
No, but they were all
scored.
Yeah, but then it would have also been calling him a liar.
Yeah, but he wouldn't think of that. Yeah. He's a very simple binary man, evidently.
That's true, yeah. Did you see that Ronaldo unveiled his new personal museum in Riyadh this week?
Lovely,
lovely.
There's a lot of like...
If you don't want to go to Madeira, you've got another option there.
I was in Madeira a couple of weeks ago I was really surprised about how... There was the CR7 hotel, obviously. I think we stayed in one.
In Lisbon. We've stayed in one.
But
of
then
his
there
hotels.
Was like then. So I saw his bust at the airport, but it is like in a like forgotten. You know, nobody really sort of like it doesn't sort of draw attention to itself. The old statue at the
airport.
It's not
Ken Dodd at Liverpool.
No, exactly. Lime Street, it's not a full. They've saved on the bronze there, haven't they? It's just his head. Yeah. It's a bust.
Do you reckon they tried to do the whole body and he kept focusing on the abs?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Just the head.
Yeah, the people doing it were just like, let's just, this has to be minimalistic. Chop his body off.
Chop his body off.
Did you go to the Ronaldo Museum then?
No, I didn't, because I have a little bit of self-respect left in my soul.
You went to a penis museum in Iceland.
I certainly did. Put them all in my mouth. Nom, nom, nom.
You were there to contribute, presumably.
Set off a Roomba.
Set off a Roomba.
Yeah, that's the one thing I did actually do. I did set off a Roomba in the Iceland Penis Museum. Oh, it went, ooh. I was like, oh, God, I don't really know how to stop this.
To be fair, like, I've got a Roomba, and every time you go past it and accidentally kick it, it's just go,
don't kick me! Yeah. Don't kick me! Vish, a Roomba owner yourself, does it get used all that much?
Yeah, loads, yeah. It's actually surprisingly useful.
Yeah.
For something that's I look at and think, I'd like to just put stuff on you without riding around. I generally thought about for Halloween, G&T. Just putting like a, I don't know, like a small thing on it that would hold up a bed sheet and have it go around the house.
Nice.
And I realised I was 38.
Tonight, Vish, your favourite football team, Manchester United, are in action.
Yeah. Welcome to hell.
It's in Turkey. They must avoid defeats against Galatasaray to have any chance of making it to the last 16.
To have any chance.
Yeah.
Avoid it to have any chance.
And I would ask you, what could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong?
All the things that beyond this quite professional performance against Everton that had me thinking that this is...
They're going well.
This is going to be bad.
They're going well. They're winning games. They're scoring goals. Although the Galatasaray assistant coach did accuse Manchester United of being nervous. Look at them.
You can't accuse someone of being nervous, can you?
Like days before the game.
Yeah.
If they're lining up and he's looking at them and they're looking around the stadium, you can go, I thought they looked a bit nervous. Fair enough. But not even landed in the country yet. They're nervous.
Well, I mean, I think right. So I think because of everything United do is quite short term. You know, they're as bad as like the previous game. I think the fact that they've come off the back of a good win at Goodison Park with a clean sheet. Hasn't been good there. A couple of players returning, like Hoyland's returning and stuff like that. And Kobbie Mainoo is someone who seems to reinforce the options that United have. So.
Lovely player he's seen. Roy Keane was impressed with his performance.
Yeah, I mean, it was an impressive performance. This is an altogether different kettle of fish now.
I think you're starting the Euros.
For England,
big time.
It's up to you, isn't it? you haven't anointed him, have you?
I think I. Well, let's see how tonight goes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, no.
Do you think he'll start?
I don't know. I'd like to think so. If you're going to build on that,
he seems like the type of player that they've been missing.
Yeah, especially given the lack of trust in Amrabat and other players such. So yeah, I wouldn't be against
but
him.
But he provided something. I know it's only Everton, and you know, but I don't know. He just seemed to provide something that they've been lacking a little bit. We've spoken about the imbalance in Manchester United midfield. As you say, getting Amrabat in, who's a sort of jack of all trades. Can he play there? It's not quite happened and so on. But I don't know. If I was Ten Hag, I think I would be very tempted to put in Mainoo.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And
in
Ten
the spirit of Lewis Miley's, you know, and all the English teams are getting in, why not?
Well, I mean, I think Ten Hag finds it hard to trust a lot of people at Manchester United, understandably so.
Yeah,
so
the fact especially that people who like fix roofs and stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to trust a wall.
Yeah, don't lean on that.
Is that Lord Baring? Ooh, don't know. Ask me no questions, I'll tell you a lie.
I don't know. I'm absolutely intrigued as to see whether he'll start or not. Will Garnacho start after that overhead kick? You know, he turned heads, of course, and he's been turning heads for a little while now at Manchester United. And he's also been putting noses out of joint, Peter, because according to Rio Ferdinand, the great Lionel Messi unfollowed him on Instagram because he openly prefers Cristiano Ronaldo.
Why is Rio Ferdinand getting involved? Why is he noticing all this stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, he told
me
this.
Drama man.
Yeah, drama man.
Yeah.
I
friendship ended with, was it Muzadeh?
Yeah.
Holding hands with him, like shaking hands with the man. Yes, good.
There we go. It's over.
Cristiano Ronaldo is my new friend.
Well, it's a new show for Rio to host, isn't it?
It is.
Friendship's
what?
Broken.
90-day friends say.
Yeah, maybe.
Football friend.
Garnacho posted, because he's played for Argentina with Messi, of course, he posted tweeted once, you know, saying, you know, hashtag idol or whatever with them together. And then only a few weeks later, he posted something about Cristiano Ronaldo saying he is the GOAT.
What a shame.
What a shame. And apparently Messi's unfollowed him, because we all know that Messi definitely is the one operating his social media.
100%, yes.
Why did nobody ever points that out?
Yeah.
Messi's not trawling through going, who am I following? Who am I?
I done what? Yeah.
It's the social media operator.
The flip side is, though, Ronaldo would have a team doing it as well, but would also be on it.
He's definitely going in there. Well, we're looking forward to that one, which should be very, very interesting. Galatasaray hosting Manchester United, of course. Arsenal hosting Lens, or Lens, as we affectionately call them in this country. Arsenal only need a point to secure their spot in the last 16 of the Champions League. A win will secure top spot in the group. Of course, Arsenal lost 2-1 away from home to Lens in the reverse fixture.
Will Mikel Arteta, presumably after protesting at the French embassy in London, after the terrible treatment of Eddie Howe's men, because he's a VAR non-apologist, so you know he should really be supporting the.
You sound like Simon Jordan right now. Simon Jordan on the radio was saying how managers come out and they slag off VAR when it goes against them, but when it goes for them, some dodgy decisions.
Yeah.
Well, they're very quiet. He said you've either got to be all in or you're all in or all out.
Oh, we're very talk spot listening today, aren't we? Yeah.
This is our vibe now. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Vish and I are back tonight for Ramble Reacts after Manchester United and Arsenal play in the Champions League. Patreon subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. Of course, as we've said, if you're not a Patreon subscriber, get involved. Sign up to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. Do follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. How many times have I got to say it? There we are.
Get involved. Whoa.
Damn you all!
God.
I just want our listeners to turn into animals.
Yeah. We never hear any noise from them, do we? Jeez, no, come on. God. It's always us. Really, this.
Oh, dear. Thank you, Peter.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, Vidushin.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.